Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
He's been on the program before, and I love his energy. He's really intense. He almost seems like he's a little intense, but in a good way, in a good way. And I know it's not caffeine, because I know he's into a lot of natural things, but I really like Stuart. He's got a good sense of humor. He's from the Windy City, Chicago. Stuart Tomk, who's with Nordic Naturals, my guest this week. How are you doing, Stuart?
I have never had a bad day in my life. And full transparency, I love to drink coffee.
Do you really?
I do.
Yeah, it's not bad to have coffee, is it?
I don't think so. Look, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and even for people that do, there are all kinds of paradoxes. I think we oversimplify health. The Japanese smoke a lot, for example. They drink a lot of green tea. They eat a lot of seaweed. They have lower rates of lung cancer. You've got a lot of people that are larger, that are metabolically very, very healthy. You have a lot of what we call fit fat people. You have skinny people that are on their way to an emergency room right now. Coffee was bad, now it's good. Now it's also an antioxidant. So I think that we've grossly oversimplified nutrition and lifestyle, and we come to too many conclusions that are unsubstantiated.
Well, I got an email, and it's an article we were going to talk about, and I'm sure many things with Stuart, but bad foods and bad moods, how things, obviously the things we eat will influence us. And we can make nutritional choices, and I thought it would be good, because there's a lot of people, don't you think there's a lot of people, Stu, can I call you Stu? Sorry, Stuart.
Sure.
There's a lot of people out there that will, there's so many people pushing, like, natural things, and I think a lot of them are really good, but it's good to get another opinion on the subject. So, what are the foods that could affect us that you think? Let's say I'm going to go have some, maybe tonight I'll go eat some lard and some pork rinds for supper. You think that would affect me in some way?
Well, above the latest work that says that the sugar and the salt and the imbalance levels of fat, I don't say bad fat. Fat doesn't have a moral compass. But the unnatural ratios of certain fats, they know that that affects the brain in a very similar way to drugs and alcohol. Hmm. In fact, I have a colleague that's at the National Institutes of Health, and they're now looking at food because it's the number one most addictive substance. There are more people hooked on food than on any drugs or cigarettes or anything. But I want to explore a mechanism with you for a moment that most people don't know anything about. You want to hear something brand new?
Sure.
Vegetable oils. Mm. I'm a recovered conspiracy theorist. Fully recovered. I believe that it's industry and not conspiracy. And when we switched our food supply dramatically, especially in the 60s leading into the 70s, and we started bathing everything in these highly refined vegetable oils, and then you had the subsidies for the soy and the corn and the agri interests, we just learned recently, listen to this, that these highly refined vegetable oils actually trigger a receptor in your brain that increases what we call hyperactive endocannabinoid activity. What does that mean? The munchies.
Really?
Eating all those vegetable oils that they make the french fries in, the Pam and Spam and Ding Dongs and Chicken Nuggets and Hoes and Krispy Kremes, hits the CB1 receptor like you just smoked marijuana and gives you food-seeking behavior, hyperactive food-seeking behavior. Do you think the food manufacturers know that that's how they can keep you eating all those french fries and potato chips?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I agree. I agree. Why wouldn't you? You're in business to make money. Do you care about somebody's health?
I know they're just doing their job. Now, back in the 70s, there was a great book called What We Eat Today. Knowing you, you're going to love this title. Listen to the subtext. The Food Manipulators versus the People.
Uh-oh. Sounds like a conspiracy going on.
What We Eat Today. Now, the scientist that wrote this book was just awarded Brain of the Year Award 2013. That he shares with Professor Stephen Hawking. So this is no lightweight.
All right.
What We Eat Today. Now, the Sunday Times, in 1972, Graham Rose and the Sunday Times reviewed the book, and with what Professor Crawford was saying, how what we eat is going to affect our mental health, The rise in heart disease was the canary in the coal mine for mental ill health. This is what Graham Rose said. Direct quote. Quote, unless we respond, we will become a race of morons. I mean, that's about as direct as you can get in 1972. So, yeah, fast foods, fast moods has changing the food supply dramatically altered our brain and our brain function and the neuroplasticity and the inflammation in the brain. And as stress levels have gone up in our society because of the demand to consume and have more, when your brain is deficient in what it should have, is that connected to all this violent behavior?
I would agree that it's not just violent, but people that are a little bit, maybe they're just a little lost or messed up or can't seem to function.
And we're seeing it, and the WHO, the World Health Organization, stated by the year 2020 that depression will be the second leading cause of disability throughout the world,
wow,
trailing only to ischemic heart disease, placing it as the single largest financial burden on healthcare systems worldwide.
Hmm. So, what can we do about it? How can we turn that around?
When we understand that the brain is a supercomputer made out of fat, you need protein for your body, you need fat for your brain. Essential fats are required for every single biological function in your body. Now, we're told that nutrients, that vitamins, minerals, dietary supplements, and foods cannot treat, cure, or mitigate, ameliorate a disease or a disease symptom. Otherwise, they are called drugs.
Mm-hmm.
On your show, I can be a little bit more myself.
Mm-hmm.
The FDA just sent out warning letters to walnut manufacturers for telling people on the label the health benefits of eating walnuts. They said, your food is packaged as a drug, and if you're going to tell people about the health benefits of the food, you need to apply for the drug approval process. Now, this is just cuckoo nuts.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Just what happens when you don't have vitamin C? We all know you get scurvy. You don't have vitamin D, you get rickets. You don't have iron, you get anemia. You don't have folic acid when you're pregnant, well, your kid might get spina bifida.
Mm.
So to tell me that nutrition doesn't have some role in your health outcomes, I remember this paper I read years ago, they called it mesotrophic massacre. These studies they did in the 60s where they took cattle and they fed them just barely enough to keep them alive where they could get big, but they were completely deficient in everything they need, like a half-dead lake. Mesotrophic massacre. That's what's been happening to us. The brain is made of a special fat. In the 70s, they learned, the man that won the Scientist of the Year award, Brain of the Year this year, Professor Crawford, that if you don't have enough omega-3 DHA in your brain, you don't have optimal brain function. So what we need to do is we need to reduce the amount of omega-6 in our diet. We call it nix the 6 and eat the 3. We should be eating more sardines, more wild salmon or canned salmon, more fish, and less vegetable oils.
What if you don't have access to, and how did people manage before they had that?
Well, if you want to go way back in the Wayback Machine, about 85,000 years ago, if you believe in that tale of our planet, right about the time of the Great Expansion coming out of the cradle of civilization, fantastic geneticist by the name of Ski Shilton, this is his work, made the observation that there was more selective pressure on a specific gene sequence that allows you to turn seeds and plants into the fats that make up your brain.
Hmm.
Meaning, you no longer needed to be tethered to a river or a lake,
mm-hmm,
which we were from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get out and move across the planet. Now, once we had more sophisticated animal husbandry and more sophisticated fishing hooks and so forth, we started being able to eat more foods that had these essential fatty acids in them, and then that genetic pressure switched. Except some people were still stuck with what we call fast converters. That means that those people that were fast converters may have an extra burden from all of this junk food, specifically of African descent. You've seen higher rates of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease,
mm-hmm,
and so forth,
mm-hmm,
in certain cultures, even though they eat the same thing.
Right. Absolutely. I always wondered that.
And so we now believe, if I can be a little technical, it's the conversion of dihomogammalinoleic acid into arachidonic acid, which is converted into the pro-inflammatory hormone-like compounds that lead to thrombus, a heart attack, and inflammatory degenerative diseases.
You know, I always hate it.
For some people, that junk food's worse.
I always hate it when my dihomophobic acid doesn't work. I don't even know what you just
said. TGLA is converting to too much AA. That's a bad day.
I don't even know what you just said, but I know what you're saying. So it's not converting the way it should be. Or we're not putting the right things in our body. And some people, it reacts differently. Different races, it affects differently, doesn't it?
Correct. So genetics are part of it. The environment is part of it. Now, that being said, if you have no control over the genetics, the only thing left you have control over is the environment. Mm-hmm. Now, as it relates to mental ill health, I think we can all say safely, and I'm not a political guy, I'm interested in history and science, we've agreed as a culture to never make a difficult decision about anything ever, now forever. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to ever talk about what is it that could be going on with our mental ill health and the violence and the psychosis we're seeing in the industrialized Western world. If you follow people like Kali Lawson, who started a group called Adbusters, some say it's consumerism. Some people say it's materialism. Whatever it is, the one variable that I've seen that has the most control over your outcome is nutrition. And back in the 90s, Joe Hiblin, Captain Joseph Hiblin, over at the National Institutes of Health, listen to this paper, I have it in front of me, Seafood Consumption and Homicide Mortality. You like that? He found in cultures that eat more fish, and I know him personally. He suggested that fish is the symbol of you know, certain religions and calming, and throughout, it's not just Christianity, it's a bunch of religions. Calming, peace, grandma said fish was brain food, the calming presence of the fish. He is suggesting when you look at Japan where they're eating 150 pounds of seafood per person per year, they have the lowest, this is not anyone's opinion, this is fact, homicide mortality, postpartum depression, and major depression. The lowest in the world. Is there a connection? Then the British picked up this research. Listen to this study. Influences of supplementary vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids on antisocial behavior of adult prisoners, randomized control trial. Studying people that you can control their entire diet.
You know, it just makes a lot of sense. You know, you give the body what it needs, and if it's lacking, and like you say, you know, I've noticed these things, you know, that they're to me, you know, and I don't do conspiracy stuff really on my show, but it just seems like there's an agenda to almost make the natural, the nutrient companies, the vitamin companies look like they're the bad guys now. Like they really don't have an effect and maybe in some cases harmful. And it seems like we have a country now that is becoming more and more dependent on drugs. And I know pharmaceuticals, are they not competing with the naturals?
You know, it's I've had to take a very, very objective view of that conversation. When I was a much younger man, I was sort of farther to the left of that, and I would go even further than what you had suggested. Now, I think it has to do with our unrealistic expectations in addition to protecting territory. So rather than an orchestrated attempt to prove that the vitamins don't work or that nutrition and lifestyle doesn't work, there may be a very organized lobby to protect the territory that they have. And one way that they can do that are there these two gold standards of study that are now accepted. One is called the randomized control trial, which the study I told you about with the British was. They gave them more vitamins, minerals, and fish oil and had a 40% reduction in violent outbursts. Now, the challenge with that is there were a few hundred participants. So you need to have 10,000 or more. We call that a mega trial. Then you need to have three or four or five of those mega trials to put together what we call a meta-analysis or a study of the studies. That's what we want to say that something's effective. So we're holding nutrition, dietary, and lifestyle Like, you can never control for positive attitude or prayer or charity or being a better human being and how that affects your health. You can't prove that.
Right.
They've done studies where they cut people's knees open and pretend like they're having knee surgery, and it was all part of the placebo effect. They sew them up, and their knee pain goes away. So we understand that for a long, long, long time. What we're trying to do is to compare apples to oranges. You can't compare diet or nutrition to the way that, say, a drug works. A drug just busts through all kinds of metabolic pathways and walls. Nutrition, it's over a long period of time. So I think what we've done is we have given ourselves this gold standard, and we're trying to prove that there is a silver bullet, and I don't think we'll ever be able to do it with drugs, and we certainly won't be able to do it with nutrition.
You know, I think a lot of it, too, and you know, you can't say that you can prove it, but the attitude that we have towards many things seems to affect our health, in my personal belief. And along with nutrition, those are the best things, I believe, the best defenses I have to stay healthy. And so I've followed that my whole life, and I have been healthy. And maybe it's just my attitude that keeps me healthy. But you know what you feel like when you take nutrition? Do you feel a lot more energetic? Feel a lot better?
Well, I want to dovetail into what you said, and I agree wholeheartedly, and I think that it's sort of like the chicken and the egg conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some have said to me, you know, Stuart, if you straighten out spiritually, you straighten out mentally, you straighten out physically. I've seen enough people do everything they can to try to straighten out physically and still be a slave to self-defeating negative feedback loops and then be involved in that self-sabotage and not be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
A huge expert in this area, Professor Bruce Lipton, he wrote a book called The Biology of Belief, another one called Spontaneous Evolution. I just learned today he has another one out. Lipton, look him up, Lipton, a leading cell membrane biophysiology guy that found this quantum conversation of how our thoughts and our belief actually influence our health outcomes. That being said, and I've talked to Dr. Lipton directly, when you're kind of asleep, which a lot of us are, he suggests you need all the organic food you can get your hands on, a lot of exercise, all the positive mental attitude stuff, electromagnetic shields, water filters, air filter, all those things. He suggests as you wake up, your dependency on those things may go down. It's a very interesting theory. Because I've seen enough people, I've done this now since I was a kid, they exercise, they eat all the right stuff, and they're so rigid and so tight, and they define their lives based on what they don't eat. And they're not happy and free and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting on an airplane next to Michael Jordan's nutritionist and when he was at the height of his game. And I said, wow, I'll bet you that Mike eats the healthiest food in the world. It's been a long time ago, so I don't know, I might get in trouble for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all hearsay. The nutritionist said to me, yeah, he'll eat about 5 jelly donuts.
Really?
That's why I'm afraid of the gross oversimplifications. The few things that I know that work, sleep, fantastic medicine, kindness, eat less, work out more, fish, omega-3, well proven. In some cases, aspirin. For some people, there's tons of data that they've collected on that. But I think that there's a lot of stuff in the health food stores and the aisles of the natural markets and a lot of stuff on television that you may not need if you actually ate right, lived right, and slept more regularly.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's gotten harder for them to do that, the sleeping part of it.
Yeah, that's the huge caveat, because I'll tell you, you start sleeping on a regular basis. You know, Deepak Chopra, whatever anybody thinks of him, said once in one of his lectures, dynamic rest follows dynamic activity. That doesn't mean working 24 hours a day. Means the dynamic activity, that work-life balance, and then you get the sleep. So to circle back to what you suggested about, you know, are the drug companies involved somehow here? You know, they've got a lot at stake to protect their territory. There is bias. There's research bias that happens all the time where people go out of their way. They call it, Franklin's Gambit, to try to collect data to help you support the decision that you already made.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen enough cases where people start changing their attitude, they change their lifestyle, and they have dramatic health reversals. I think since we don't want to be practicing medicine with nutrition, we should all try to keep healthy people healthy. And when you have to go to the fix-it shop, you should be listening to a good doctor.
You know, I find that, you know, I have talked to some hospitals or people that work in different ones. They're starting to mix the two a little bit, aren't they?
They are, and that's fantastic. I was just last year over at the Cleveland Clinic, which is just a center for this kind of integrative approach. And they walked me around and said, here's the meditation chamber. This is where we do the acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, unfortunately, I didn't get to meet the Dr. Oz's best friend, Dr. Rosen, I believe is his name. But he was Nordic Naturals brought me out there. I got to train their whole pharmacy. I teach pharmacists all the time. They're very, very, very interested. But again, they're holding this bar of evidence-based medicine that I think that this is the least, this is the most controversial that I will ever get when I do an interview. If you could demonstrate that diet and lifestyle would actually reduce the healthcare cost burden and you'd live longer, that evidence would benefit everyone, so nobody will ever conduct the necessary research.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you I'm glad you at least went there. I'm glad you at least went there because that seems like a no-brainer to me.
If it's going to benefit everyone, you know, like a more stable power source that doesn't have a carbon footprint, we'll probably never bring that to market.
You know, I talked to there's a good friend of mine who doesn't live far. I'm up in Upper Michigan where I do the show. And there's a place called Garden, Michigan. I don't know if you've been up here before at all, Stuart. But there's a friend of mine whose mother, back in the 40s and 50s, worked with a doctor out of a place called Mary Grove. And his mother, and I just had somebody else confirm this, his mother worked with this doctor, and this doctor found a cure for skin cancer. Now, I don't know if it cured everything, but it was a natural substance that he would rub on people's skin, and it would draw it out. And so I know there are probably many, many things. You know, I've told you my experiences, I believe, with a company called Manitech. I believe we talked about that?
Yes, we did.
And I've seen remarkable, complete turnarounds from major illnesses. And I've even had people on my show there was a man whose father had Alzheimer's at 88. And he actually started to recover. Now, you don't recover from that, do you?
From the due diligence I've done on that, when you get the plaque, you know, the beta amyloid plaque, the tangles, all you can do is manage, ease the patient, comfort the patient. One study showed some mega, mega high levels of omega-3 DHA with early mild cognitive impairment, although it is a controversial study, appeared to make your brain a few years younger. But by and large, when the oxidative damage in plaque is done, you're done.
You're done. So there's no way, if you're in like last stages of Alzheimer's and you're basically shriveled up and ready to die, that you should turn your life around at 88 years old on top of that. Right?
I would agree with that.
And that's not the case. That's not the case. This man did turn his life around, and we actually have video of him sitting up in a chair. He gained his weight back. He was actually reading a newspaper. He was actually watching TV. He was actually had remembered his son's name, and he stopped punching him because he didn't recognize him, you know? So he was hitting him. So then it's like, what a total turnaround. So I know there are many, many, many things out there, I believe, that can have an effect on us. And I truly believe what you're onto, the omega-3s make a lot of sense. I've heard it for years. We got to feed the brain. We got to take care of it, right?
We have to, because if you don't, I want to push the envelope here to get even a little bit headier here. If you don't have enough of the most rate-limited and most limiting omega-3 fat in your brain, known as this DHA, your brain will make a surrogate. You'll produce something called DPA. And it's one double bond short. So it's 22 carbons long, but it's five double bonds. Instead of 22 carbons long, six double bonds. This man that I'm talking about, I'm just so enthralled with his research, Professor Crawford. His book is called The Driving Force, the man that just won Brain of the Year Award. He has come up with this theory that this DHA is the master of DNA. He says when you insert that sixth double bond, that you turn this thing into a bioelectrical tuning fork that is harnessing photonic energy which was originally turned into carbohydrate and sugar, and now you can turn this sun energy directly into electricity that this sparked the nervous system and ultimately the brain. The DHA is the master of DNA. And so there's some very interesting work that we're going to see in the next few years that's going to help to support this theory that we are what we eat, we are the fats that we eat, our brain is a supercomputer made out of fat. If you're eating Pam and Spam and Ding Dongs and Chicken Nuggets and Hoes and Krispy Kremes and you feel down in the dumps, there may be a very, very, very simple organic disturbance and deficiency that we should correct and address first before we put ourselves on a lifetime regime of serotonin reuptake inhibitors or things like Ritalin for hyperactivity.
And what do you think causes hyperactivity?
Well, I think that that's still so multifactorial. The reality is the experts that I talk to believe that hyperactivity is not caused by a Ritalin deficiency. So that calls the entire treatment into question.
Mm-hmm.
So if we know it's not caused by Ritalin deficiency, are there issues going on with some of the neurotransmitting speed? You've got what we call that spark plug firing brain cell to brain cell communication. When the cell membrane that is remarkable, that has 100,000 receptor effector sites, is unorganized and confused, you're going to have a deadened effect. Now, over time, then you get inflammatory damage, leads to oxidative instability, leads to plaque and dementia and so forth. But if you can more effectively utilize that cell membrane and organize it so that these receptor sites are more efficient, there's a lot of theories that are suggesting, again, I'm not telling anybody to get off any drugs, but a guy here at UIC, and I'm in Chicago, gave a conference, the lecture we were at recently, that said that he was able to cut people's medication in half or less by giving them high levels of omega-3, which remodel the cell membrane. You're made of 60 trillion cells.
The fatty acids
that we're talking about live in the membrane of the cell. The membrane is the brain of the cell. The nucleus is the hard drive. DNA doesn't turn itself on and off. It responds to the environment. As the environment changes, we change. That's the driving force. The discontinuities that Darwin was trying to account for, and he couldn't. How do you explain, over the last 100 years, how we have radically changed how we look? Does genetic pressure happen in over 100 years?
I don't think so.
Of course not. We changed our diet. We changed the way we look. The heart is predicting. The heart is telling you what the brain is going to do. All the vascular disease, all of this thrombus, all the stuff that's going on with the ticker is starting to happen to the brain, and we can catch it. We can catch it now.
How do people, I mean, if somebody wants to start taking these omega, or even just do some research, where can they go to find out more about that?
Omega-research.com. It is a research-only website, omega-research.com. I like it because there's no pop-up, there's no link, there's no sales, anything. Number one, do some homework. Read the book I mentioned, The Driving Force. It's out of print, but you can find it used on Amazon. $5-6 if you can get a copy. He's working on reprinting it right now. But anyway, read The Driving Force. Do some homework. There's a look up Dr. Hiblin, H-I-B-B-E-L-N, Joseph R. Hiblin, at the Laboratory of Membrane Biophysics and Biochemistry at our great National Institutes of Health, where they are unaffected by special interest groups. I know that!
Hope you're right.
The American Heart Association, because they're taking all their cues from Unilever and Monsanto and Cargill and agriculture. I can't take that seriously anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to go do some homework yourself, and then there's no risk, zero health risk, only benefit from you eating more fish, more cold water, oily fish, and less refined vegetable oils. Zero side effect, 100% upside, no risk, unless, of course, you are allergic to fish, in which you should then maybe be looking at fish oil supplements, because all the proteins have been removed.
Now, there's so many different fish oil supplements. Are some better than others?
Well, as long as you bite into the capsule, and, you know, with the full transparency and disclosure, I work for Nordic Naturals.
Mm-hmm.
But bite into the capsule of whatever brand it is. If it tastes fishy and funky, don't take it. You wouldn't eat rotten fish. Who would do that?
Mm-hmm.
Ask your doctor, do you know about Nordic Naturals? And we're huge sponsors of clinical research all over the world. They know who we are. Get a thumbs up from her or from him. Make sure it says on the label triglyceride form. That means that the form of the omega-3 is more the form that the body is most familiar with. So there's some advantages there to bioavailability and pharmacokinetics and so forth. The most important thing is that you take it. And if you're not eating a can of sardines every day or a can of wild-caught salmon, then 2-3 capsules of fish oil, minimum of 500 to 1,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA per day, is the recommendation from the American Psychiatric Association. So if that's what they're saying, the American Heart Association says eat cold water, oily fish twice a week, or if you have a history of heart disease, take 1,000 milligrams a day. The FDA just approved another fish oil drug. There are now 2 fish oil prescription pharmaceutical multi-billion dollar drugs. So this is no longer folk remedy. This is big time preventative medicine.
If I take the supplements how long does it, you know, let's say you haven't had it for a long time. I haven't had fish oil in my body in quite a while. I did take it for a while. How long does it take for your body to kind of get back on track with that?
Well, the area of speed and what you're going to feel right away is controversial. A colleague of mine, Michael Lewis, who's a medical doctor, a master's in public health, he also has an MBA. He went to West Point. He was the Army's lead researcher at the Pentagon on omega-3. He's the one that published the 62% increased risk for suicide with low omega-3 DHA status last year. If you listen to what Colonel Michael Lewis says, you can find him at the Brain Health Education and Research Institute. It's also a fantastic reference, Brain Health Education and Research Institute. If you look at his brain injury protocol, let's say you get hit in the head with a soccer ball, or when he was studying this, the roadside bomb goes off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
He's recommending a much, much, much bigger dose than's on the label for people that are concussed. And they notice that within weeks, sometimes days, depending on how severe it is and depending on how efficient they are getting it in and how much they're taking. So I wouldn't be surprised that if you change your omega-3, 6 level in your tissues, because the red blood cell turnover is every 90 days, that you would notice something quickly. It's not a drug.
What about it? Can it build up in your body? Can it build up in your body? Can it build up in your body in any way? Any way be toxic?
No. No, I mean, like, most of it gets beta-oxidized as energy, or gets turned into the anti-inflammatory hormone-like compounds, but there's... You know, when we made the first discovery with the Inuit, with the Eskimos back in the 50s and 60s, they were eating 13 grams of omega-3, the equivalent from eating seal and walrus and whale, 13,000 milligrams of omega-3 per day. No one's ever going to take that kind of dose.
Mm-hmm.
So we've not seen any adverse effects.
Well, that's cool, because that's something, you know, even with, like, supplements and vitamins, you got to be careful. Some of that stuff can build up.
It's true, but this is food. So I think that looking at it through the aperture of food makes it a little different.
So if, let's say, I want to go through Nordic Naturals and get what their supplement, I just go to their website. Is their website?
Or go to a health food store, or you know, get online. The main thing I would say is, you know, you grab your, whatever, it's your can of sardines or your bottle of Ultimate Omega. That's the one that I like. It's double concentrated. You take fewer capsules, you get more. I want you marching into your doctor's office. All the interviews that I do, my goal is not to inspire people to take the product. I'll be very clear. We are doing great. We're the number one selling fish oil in the natural product channel. That's not why I'm here. I want you to take the bottle or the can of sardines into your doctor's office, put it on the table, and get your doctor to start talking to you about the benefits of omega-3, especially in this new emerging area of mental health. Because if we all did that, I was just at my primary care physician's office for a checkup, and he was going through his reviews for his board. okay, that he's like, oh, I'm reading all these latest, these current papers. He wasn't reading the papers that were as current as I'm reading because he has to see patients. He was slightly ahead of the curve because he had time to stop seeing patients to read some papers so that he could stay current. We have now access to information. Let's use it, but let's not abuse it. Let's find the latest research. Go to omega-research.com. Look up Joseph Hiblen, H-I-B-B-E-L-N. Look up Michael Crawford. Bring some of these studies. Bring your fish and your fish oil capsules into your doctor's office. This is how we connect that patient advocacy for ourselves with our primary care physician's blessing.
Well, I appreciate you coming on with me, Stuart. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. And when
we had a great conversation today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And we'll talk again soon, anytime. Anytime you want to get on. Next time we'll talk about conspiracies. How about that?
We'll do it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.